there anything better than two dudes naked fighting in a bathhouse? I mean, come on.
Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Remember me, Eddie?
When I kill your brother, I talk.
The first 7 minutes, we're gonna send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto. That's where we're coming from. That's from A to B.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6 minute abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
No, not six. I said seven. Nobody's coming up with six. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse right. On a wheel.
Good point.
Seven's the key number here. Think about it. Right. Seven elevens?
Yeah.
Seven dwarfs? Seven, man, that's the number. Seven chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? It's like you're dreaming about Gorgonzola cheese when it's clearly brie time, baby. Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're f***ing fired.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Good night, everybody.
This kitchen is so hard to clean. If only there was an easier way.
Hi, I'm Derek Baum. Say goodbye to daily stains and dirty surfaces with new Kitchen Gun. This sink is filthy, but just three shots from Kitchen Gun. And it sparkles like new. Look how it cleans this greasy hob.
Bang, bang, bang.
Goodbye, dirt. Grubby tiles.
Bang, bang, bang.
I love you, Kitchen Gun. Rusty taps.
Bang, bang, bang.
You can even use it on the washing up.
Bang, bang, bang.
There, all clean again. New Kitchen Gun, now with laser sight and night vision for after dark cleaning.
So I might be going away for a while.
Yeah, I know, man. It's a bummer, dude. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, time to go face the music. You take care of yourself all if right, I don't man. See you, all right?
You too, man. Take care of yourself, bud.
All right.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Watch out for your cornhole, bud.
Okay, Lawrence.
Thank you. to reruns.
Holy crap! Whoa! Hey! Woo! Hey, everyone! Hey! Hey, Laurel. How's it going? It's Friday. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Hey, welcome to the show where we talk film, television, pop culture, bang, bang, bang! All right, yeah! It is I, the J-Strom, or call me Jason, call me whatever you want. I don't do the show alone, I do it with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
I'm guessing that Steven's late.
Yeah, if I introduce you first, that means Steven's here.
It's always, to my left, pop culture. Steven.
Steven's at the mercy of airplanes, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
I am doing fantastic. Steven, the pop culture's up, will show up soon. He said that he actually flew into a different airport, so he'd take a little bit longer. Whatever. He'll show up when he shows up, right?
Flew into the ghetto airport.
Yeah. The wrong side of the tracks. He's the bad side of town right now. The wrong turf, as they say. I don't know what I'm talking about. But welcome to the show, everyone. We are going to talk about some TV shows and stuff like that. DVDs, news, that kind of stuff. Right, Bill? It's so
correct.
Exciting. We have True Blood to talk about. Hey.
We do.
It's back.
It's quickly approaching like Red Shoe Diary sex levels, though.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining, but damn.
You know, I think every show should be like that, honestly.
Why not?
Single show. How much better would Heroes be if it just had hardcore sex scenes?
Oh, copious amounts of sex, superhero sex.
It's like, God, this show's stupid, but God, they have great sex scenes, don't they?
My father's research of your breasts!
It turns out Mohinder's dad was total just into the kinky stuff. Oh, dear. I love that kitchen gun commercial. It's hilarious.
I love you, kitchen gun!
Oh, I know. I love how he loves it.
Goodbye, Dutch! I love you, kitchen gun!
Before we get into all of our regular stuff, Bill. Hey, Bill. Before we get into all that. I finished The Gunslinger.
Yes, you did.
Dark Tower Book 1. And I got to say, man, I'm hooked. I can't wait. I wanted to immediately pick up the second book, The Drawing of the Three, and start reading it. But I was like, no. We're going to do our book club show where we talk about the entire book first.
I was bad. It was funny. You messaged me. It was like, have you started reading yet? And I was like, no. And then... That night, I picked it up, and I finished it. I read the entire book in 6 hours.
Wow.
I couldn't stop. I was halfway through it, and I got to the waypoint section.
Right.
And I was like, I should go to bed. No, I'm not going to go to bed.
Yeah.
So I read the entire thing in one sitting.
The way station chapter is really good. You just can't put it down. It's so interesting. And I think I read that chapter in one sitting, but it's an interesting read, that's for sure, and it's got some mysteriousness going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I certainly won't be reading the next book in one sitting. I started to look at it, and I was like, wow, this is much thicker, and the text is much smaller, so that's going to be I think that one's going to take us a little longer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hey!
And then I noticed the third book is pretty thick from what I could tell. I don't know how many pages it is, but we originally said we're going to read 4 books for this summer. So we're going to have to work in 2 books some month in there before the summer's over.
Well, I doubt we will, but we'll probably hold off on doing the first show for what, like another week or two so people can catch up. I really do not recommend the audiobook. The guy's voice is great. He almost sounds like Ian McShane, but it's like freaking sleeping pills.
But technically,
you start reading it or you start listening and it just puts you to sleep.
Before people cry foul, you weren't cheating. What you did is you read the book, then you decided, hey, I'm going to listen to the audiobook too.
Yeah, I wanted to see what the audiobook was like.
Right.
You know, because I always do that. Whenever I read a Star Wars book, I always like to listen to the audiobook after. It's abridged. It's always abridged, but the Star Wars audiobooks, they use the music and they use the sound effects and all that stuff. And it's always exciting to listen to those after you read
it.
Yeah,
that is cool.
But this one is just like, oh, my God. I got up to the part where he enters the town of Tall, and I was struggling through it. I could not handle it.
It's like an old sleepy man reading it or something.
Yeah, really, it does.
And then he enters.
It's like math class in high school.
Yeah, Bueller. Yeah. It's like Ben Stein reading it.
What is it? Trickle down economics.
The gunslinger. Gunslinger.
No, the guy's got a great voice. He sounds like, you know, he sounds like Ian McShane, but he just. It's just so.
He just needs to work in some, like, when he does voices, like, and then the witch said,
yeah, you know, he does the voice for Zoltan, the raven.
Oh, nice.
And that makes me laugh, but that was about it.
I was thinking maybe one week we'll, like, I was even thinking next week we don't do the regular show and we do our book club show. I would really like voicemail comments. We could play that during the show, and we could break it down by chapter or whatever. Main thing is keep it going and not make it boring. You know, we'll just discuss it like we would a movie. We'll discuss the book like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, whatever. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Capiche.
And let's
forget
see.
About it.
What else we got on the... oh, God, let's not start that.
No, not what's this early.
What's
this
start
later.
We can't stop, Bill? Yeah, whatever. Are any new shows coming on next week yet?
I don't think so. I think the next new show would have to be probably Big Brother early July.
I'm excited about The Philanthropist.
Yeah, is there any show that's more completely and totally uninteresting?
Well, he's a philanthropist, and he gives people stuff. It might be good. You know what I mean? It's a well-cut TV
trailer. I don't know, man. It looks like one of those summer replacement shows that it's going to be brutal.
Why don't I ever remember to mute Steven's mic before? Hey, Steven's here! Hey, how you doing, Steven?
I'm good.
Hey,
easy, don't laugh at me.
Where'd you come in from, Steven?
Denver.
Denver?
With a little stop through in Amarillo.
Nice.
Denver to Amarillo to Dallas.
Yeah.
Were you on a horse? It sounds like some kind of like Lonesome Dove cattle drive or something.
Was, you know, Southwest. you know, they have crazy stops.
Well, Steven, welcome to the show, and let's get this thing going.
Woo-hoo!
We got no voicemail, Bill.
We don't have any voicemail?
No, we don't have nothing. I don't even think
what the hell is wrong with you people? Last damn good show.
No one listens to the show.
Hardly get any activity on the forum. We get no voicemail. Am I going to have to start cracking skulls?
I think what it is, maybe summertime, no one cares.
You know like, what? No, excuses. I've heard it all before. Oh, I'm busy. I'm going on vacation.
Yeah, just call in from a cell phone. You can call from anywhere, right?
Can you?
A cell phone, really?
In fact,
anywhere?
If you're listening right now, 1-206-202-3491, leave a voicemail. Actually, I can't check it right now while I'm doing the show, but you know what I mean. What do you guys say we check out entertainment? We're going to do a 30-minute show tonight. Woohoo! Ah, yes. Entertainment. Let's see, that movie Year One came out, right?
Oh, and it's getting ripped apart.
Is it? What are they saying about
it? Oh, yeah. They're just saying that Jack Black is Jack Black and Michael Cera is Michael Cera, and it's just not funny.
Is the joke is that they're just themselves and they're cavemen or something?
Yeah.
Like,
contemporary
they're
humor?
Themselves and they're in the Old Testament.
Oh, nice.
So they kind of stumble their way from, you know, event to event.
Yeah, that's from the commercial. I can kind of tell that it doesn't look like they're trying that hard to look.
They pulled a Holy Moses, but not as well.
Yeah. Or like
exactly.
I was thinking History of the World Part One.
Yeah,
something
same
like that.
Thing.
I'm not a big Michael Cera fan. He's the same in everything. He's not an actor. He's him. It's like that. It's that neurotic kid in everything.
Yeah,
it's so irritating. Like it's one thing to be in like. Super bad and be that way, but
right.
Then I mean Juno and Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. I mean, it's just he is the same in everything. And then when I heard that he got casted as Scott Pilgrim, I was like, no! That's probably the biggest thing against that movie right now for me is Michael Cera. I just can't stand him.
You know what? I have no problem with him other than he doesn't act different. He's just always himself. But he doesn't really bother me, though. You know what I mean? He's nothing like, say, that other guy. The other guy from Superbad is who I'm talking about. What's his name?
Oh, Jonah Hill. He's an asshole.
Like, see, that guy gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that guy really gets on my nerves. But it was just like there's this overabundance of quirky actors like that people cast. Like, there's that the low rent Michael Cino Jesse Eisenberg that was in Adventureland and the upcoming Zombieland, which looks absurd.
It's like maybe
there's this hipster slacker mentality going on now in Hollywood that's just
hipster slacker.
Tiring.
Okay, so you're not going to go see Year One. Okay, what about that new Judd Apatow film with Adam Sandler? Does that look particularly good
funny,
to you?
What is it called? Funny People?
I think so.
I've been cracking up at the fake trailers that they've been having Adam Sandler do. But what's so funny about the trailers is it's so typical of something that Adam Sandler would actually do.
Yeah. It's like at least he can laugh at himself, right?
I hope so.
Now, have you seen the new Roland Emmerich trailer yet?
Oh, good Lord. CGI apocalypse.
What is it called? 2012?
Yeah, 2012.
It's 2012, yeah. The end of the world, and you see
John Cusack.
It's just like, what is it, a jerk-off reel of, like, destruction?
Yeah.
You know, it's got the friggin' battleship, like, overturning aircraft.
It was time
air.
For John Cusack to do another one of those. He was overdue since Con Air.
Yeah, from Con Air. He's like, you know what, I haven't really gotten a huge paycheck from a ridiculous summer blockbuster in a while. Or I don't know when this movie's coming out, but there's one part, Bill, where I rolled my eyes because to show all this destruction, you look up the Sistine Chapel of the man touching God, and there's
a crack
right in between it, the fingers. I was like, ugh, come on. This was stupid.
You know what would have been funnier? It would have been so much better if it just split. Why did it have to split down the middle? Why couldn't, like, split their heads off or something?
It splits right. Oh, no. God's not going to save us.
God has separated from us. Oh, we're all doomed.
But I love, like, the whole thing's over. It's like, oh, wow, that trailer. But then they always got to show one more. And they show the giant aircraft carrier rolling into the White House. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, I would love to sit in that storyboard meeting. Like, hey, let's think up some set pieces. What would be really awesome?
What are we going to blow up?
Sistine Chapel, hands separating.
They've all got to get just completely baked on, like, hash brownies or something to come up with this shit.
It's hilarious, though. Just that's the kind of movie you got to watch just to laugh at all the insane destruction, you know?
Mona Lisa frowns.
Yeah, Mona Lisa. The painting.
Don't laugh, you'll cry.
All of a sudden, you know, the Mount Rushmore, they have looks of horror on their face. The whole thing.
And then their faces fall off.
And then there's just skulls up there.
And then the faces fall off.
Yeah, it's like the mouth part falls and it looks like they're going, or something, and then it crumbles, and it's like, oh my god, the whole world's ending. So what I want to know is this: in the trailer it says they're looking for the key to stop the end of the world. How would you do that? If the end of the world,
there's a key that just turns it off. Right now it's an on, so we got to turn it to off.
I just thought that was like metaphorically speaking, but there's actually a key somewhere.
Real
stick
key.
It in a hole and you turn it and it stops. Damn it. That's awesome.
It's inside one of the volcanoes of the Scientologists.
No, it's actually in a cracker jack box. You just have to find it.
No, the keyhole.
But I wish I should have made a clip of the trailer. I'll do it. I'll remember to do that, but I love how they mentioned the Mayan calendar says, just like,
well,
shut
I
up.
Love how they just love digging into that 2012 Mayan calendar thing. The reason why it ends there is because they didn't have any more astrological information. That's as far as they could set it. It's not because something's going to happen. It's just, I love how people read into that shit. conspiracy theorists.
Everybody, everything stops at that time. Yeah, that's because they couldn't read beyond the stars.
Yeah. For as smart as they weren't that smart.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, like, if a caveman predicted something a long time ago in a cave. I'm not saying, I know they're more advanced, but say, like, Jack Black back in the Stone Age predicted the end of the world or whatever.
They laughed at him.
I mean, seriously, why would you take that seriously? Okay, he invented the clock or something. He could be a smart person. Like, the guy who invented a DVD player is probably a really smart Japanese guy, right? But if he also predicted the end of the world a certain time, would you believe him? Well, he invented the DVD player. Yeah, he invented DVD. He probably predict the end of the world, too. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking
He's
about.
He's got the DVD
think,
that proves the end of the world.
3,000 years ago, they actually predicted who would win the high-def battle, HD, DVD, or Blu-ray.
Did they even predict television back then?
Yeah, Nostradamus predicted it. It was moving pictures.
I see a man in a blue turban. I'm still waiting for the man in the blue turban, Nostradamus, okay?
I see a show where a man keeps yelling about his father's research, and it's terrible.
I was like, the great eagle and bear shall unite to defeat the man in the blue turban. It's like, ah, whatever. I'm still waiting for that.
The man in the blue turban.
One day some guy's going to come on the news, the leader of so-and-so country, and he has a blue turban. I'm going to go, holy shit, that's a guy who's going to end the world. He will take office in 2012. Oh, it's all coming together.
He's like, the guy that's going to be that guy is like, dude, I love blue turbans. I can't wear it. Shit, they'll find me out.
But you know what? Everything's going to be okay because the great eagle and bear shall unite. Will they, like, morph together into
when
an eagle bear?
When did he turn into
eagle bear?
No, I'm making fun of. This is before
is
Heroes,
it like
by the way.
Is the eagle supposed to be the United States and the bear supposed
right.
to be Russia or
Russia.
Something?
But there was this old documentary type
yeah,
thing where the guy
talked
like
they still played
like
on
that.
The History Channel.
They even
all
have
the
one
time.
With, like, Orson Welles or whatever. But I don't know. I'm going to anticipate the man in the blue turban. I'm really excited. But what do you guys say we check out what's on our TVOs? DVRs.
Okay. It's a DVR.
Slingbox. Steven, you had Slingbox last week. What's on our...
Hulu.
What's on our Hulu?
It's a computer.
Damn it.
I give up. My give up. Even though, what is it? I'm a Celeb is still going on. Heidi and Spencer are going on TV shows now. Have you seen this?
Yes, they are. They're promoting themselves.
They're not promoting. They're not plugging anything. But they were on the Today Show with Al Roker. And apparently Al Roker. It's Al Roker. His tough questions bothered them.
Al Roker had a bad donut that morning.
But even Heidi was very offended by the way he asked questions. And I figured we'd check this out. Why not? We got nothing else to do, right?
Right.
Let's check it out.
Heidi and Spencer, Pratt, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there are those who say that you guys are the poster children for everything that's wrong with celebrity in this country.
Wow, way to start it off, Al.
Indeed, it said that from NBC.
Well, when you look at this stuff that you have on this tape, do you have any regrets about doing what you do?
I was actually going to ask your producers to get a copy of that little highlight reel because that was one of my favorite things I've ever watched.
Is it real?
It's funny.
When you decide to do this and you're screaming at people, is this just an act or is this who you really are?
Well, I'm not an actor, so I guess.
Somewhat scripted, even though it's reality. I mean, this is you want to be
Al
the villain.
Roker's getting mad because Spencer's making you look like an asshole.
For the competitive show, like you know, not in life. I want to be the hero. But in a show that
but
has a
when you act like that, how do you expect people to think of you as a hero?
No, but on that show, I'm the villain. In life, I want to be a hero. On a television show that has a one winner, like a champion,
right.
Like a competitive show, that's the show I would choose to be
champion.
The villain or the bad guy. Because the bad guys,
so if he was in the Olympics, would he be a villain?
To understand in a competition.
Okay. But
Heidi, are you proud of all of this?
It was a very hard situation. I think when you go to the jungle...
No, the answer, are you proud of this?
Am I proud of
this? No, you're not answering the question,
the way you guys behaved in
what is the question exactly?
I mean, I'm not
ashamed. Are they proud of themselves?
But are you proud of it?
Wrong.
What kind of question is that?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I got sick and we had to leave, but we had fun in the jungle too, and those were a couple moments that were very intense and, you know, build-ups, and it didn't show everything that happened in those events, but, you know, we just went there to win and have fun. And
you guys claim that you were tortured during this.
No, we never claimed that. Yes, you did.
You claimed you tortured.
Yes, you did.
Your sister, I don't like either of them. He's an asshole. On an episode or two, maybe. He's a big teddy bear.
Speaking to her, you spoke to her a couple of times.
I thought he did the weather, by the way.
When did he decide to develop his interview skills?
If my sister wants to,
I'm waiting for whenever he starts reading about the Smucker's Day, who's 100 years old.
She was just repeating that they said to people.com, which she then Twittered. You know, you can call that whatever you like, but no, we never said NBC tortured us.
Now, yeah, and you describe yourselves as a new Christian. You were baptized by Stephen Baldwin in the water.
Was that part of a ploy, or is that absolutely not?
Stephen was just such an amazing energy and force I'd ever been around, and I just
he's got a strong force about him.
You know, I've never been around somebody who just like
damn midichlorians.
I'm like, whatever you
midichlorians are strong with Stephen Baldwin.
This behavior, I mean, this is not going to continue once now that you're off the show, is it? I mean,
do they have like a TV show running in the background?
Yeah, they have clips of the show, I guess, playing.
And this is something you want to continue. What are you going to do with the what's next for you guys?
There's a guy in an earpiece without going, like, okay, our next segment's not ready yet. Just string him along, okay?
No, you're going to have to
drag this out, Al.
You're done now.
But maybe I'll go that way. That's my point. So I don't think that far in advance.
Well, you can watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Monday through Thursday.
What the hell was that?
That was so, like, angry and confrontational. And what exactly has...
It's like, we'll make the nice guy say all the mean stuff. Al?
Yeah, what? I understand that Heidi and Spencer are reprehensible idiots, but I don't understand the attack from the weatherman.
Yeah, are you proud of yourselves for what you've
done?
Yeah,
did he get angry that he no longer does Roker on the Road on Food TV?
I guess he was just like, why do I have to interview these idiots? I bet they drew straws before the interview.
I know, but it just, oh my God, he's so angry.
Well, then,
like, it continues throughout the week. Like, he starts twitting stuff and they start twitting stuff.
Right.
How about if we just blow up Twitter? Can we just drop a bomb on it?
Twitter.
Because I am sick and tired of hearing about everyone using Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone uses Twitter.
I have a Twitter account. I've never used it. I'm never going to use it. I think it's ridiculous. Who the hell cares if you're going to take a crap in 20 minutes? Or you need to go to the store. I don't care what you think you need to tell us.
If that's what you're going to twit, I definitely wouldn't read it.
Well, it's just everyday shit, and it's so funny because the whole thing on Twitter, you can click, what is Twitter? And there's a little video about what is Twitter? And they're like, well, Twitter's what you use in your day whenever you can't talk to people. So you can tell them what you're up to. And I'm just like, who freaking cares?
It seems to be pretty cool for, like, news stuff.
Sure.
People who need to get the news out immediately. That kind of stuff is important.
Yeah, but you only have 160 characters. How much can you really... what's newsworthy enough?
You know, I'm going to start a Twitter and just put stuff like, someone's after me or whatever. Someone has a gun. Please help. That kind of thing.
I think I just saw a low man in yellow coat.
Right. Yeah, he's got a gun. Now, Bill, later in the week, Meredith Vieira decided to question Al Roker about this, and they even had one of those kind of homosexual gossip guys on there also to back.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Well, that always lends a professional credence.
And, you know, I admit it's wrong for me to say the guy's a homosexual because I don't know if he is or not. But just,
oh, please, you can tell.
I hear his voice and I wonder. So let's check this out.
When you say gay, do you know what you say?
I certainly do.
All right, so Heidi says you attacked her. Spencer says...
Now, you just saw the tape. Was that an attack?
Well, that's only a small portion. What she said, you attacked her. You did, really? And then Spencer said, he's lucky I was saved by Jesus because a couple of weeks ago I probably would have ripped his head off for talking to my wife like that.
Oh, dear.
Are you proud? Are you proud?
Yes, I am. And if he had tried to come across, I would have dumped him like a bag of dirt. So
you don't think Al
that would have been good television?
Yeah. It was amazing. And I ran into them actually weirdly in all their Aryan-ness in the elevator at 30 Rock. And they, you know, she's actually saying that you don't like women.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But there are a lot of celebrities.
Al Roker loves women.
Real celebrities.
Not as much as food.
Who've actually done something.
But why are we calling
them? And act civil.
But I think you can be better prepared than Heidi and Spencer were. What's particularly egregious about
So they have a panel of experts on the show?
You know, okay, so they're famous for being famous. You can do that and still be able to handle yourself in an interview.
Thank you, Professor.
Still be able to have something intelligent to say.
Wow, they're really killing time on the Today Show this week, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not up early enough to watch that.
Killing the clock. See, I only tune in around 10 when that's when Kathy Lee shows up for the...
Hoda Kotb.
Yeah, for their...
That name actually scares me when I say it.
That's I didn't even know her name until you said that.
It's like I need to like look over my shoulder to make sure there isn't like some sort of demon coming towards me. It sounds like a Sumerian chant.
Well, no.
Hoda Kotb.
No, she's a cougar, Bill.
Oh, she's a cougar. Yikes. That's the MGM lion.
What? That's a cougar.
Not a cougar.
What are you talking about? Yeah, Foggy, can we get a cougar
clip?
Where would you go to find a cougar clip?
One of the Housewives of New Jersey shows?
Yeah. Man, those chicks are insane. And...
You know they're all connected to the mob, apparently. Oh,
I want to see the episode where they show up to the cake boss. I need a cake.
Now that I would pay to see.
I need a cake. So-and-so's getting paroled. You know what? We were kind of making fun of Sanjaya last week about, like, him and Holly. They had a romance brewing. But I thought it was interesting.
Brewing.
This week, it kind of
like
showed.
A cold cup of coffee.
Holly Montag seems to be the smarter of the two between her and her sister. Heidi.
Yeah, I think she might be like a half sister.
Yeah, because she seems to have some intelligence. Because she starts questioning, like, well, okay, if Sanjaya's not gay, then why is he? And she starts, like, putting things together. And I thought this was interesting. It starts out here with Janice wants, what does she call it? Manliner or something? I don't know. She wants Sanjaya to put some eyeliner on for her. She wants to see how he looks. And she's like, oh, you're so sweet, and kisses him or whatever. And
okay, that's creepy.
John Sally's like, you know, he looks gay when he's putting makeup on. Girls don't like that. And they even show Holly, and she's kind of like, well, he's kind of acting gay, but he says he's not gay. Let's go ahead and check this out. It's very interesting. I'm thinking Sanjaya is a little bit confused, guys. I think that.
Just
Ruby, I want you to put guyline on.
Guyline.
We're going to do it just because you're telling me to.
He looks very gay when he does that around her. When he becomes a performing monkey. And
performing monkey.
Make her happy.
Janice.
That's racist.
Yeah.
I'd go a little more.
Okay.
You're a sweetheart. Come here.
It cannot be attractive to a girl.
What do you think, Holly?
You look like one of your eyes is bruised.
I just feel like she, like, wants you to be gay or something.
She really does. She, like, yeah. A lot of people want me to be their gay best friend, and I make a really good gay best friend, but I don't like guys. So it confuses people.
Why is your best friend? If you're not gay, then how are you gay best friend?
Because
gay best
friend protest too much.
I still don't get it. I just think if you're not gay, then you shouldn't call yourself gay. It's insulting to the gay community.
She's right. It's insulting,
yeah,
Sanjaya.
It is.
Gay best friend.
I'm not gay, but everyone wants me to be gay.
So I'll
that's
just
kind of like saying.
I'll just go along with what they say. I don't think that's right.
Gay.
No, that's.
I like the way she said that.
Hillary Duff should talk to him about it.
Yeah, don't say gay, Sanjaya. Do you know what
or
you say?
Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes. But seriously, is the guy just, he's gay, but he doesn't want to come out of the closet on
exactly.
TV or
he's
something?
He's not quite ready to say hello to Frisco.
His parents don't know.
Right.
Knock it
well,
off.
I don't think it really matters. I think like his grandfather raised him or something.
Well,
that's
whoever
so
it is, yeah, doesn't know.
They've got to know, or they're blind.
Whoa.
Oh, it's please, yeah.
You know, I remember
you
for
don't
long
think his whole family knows he's flaming?
My aunt my Aunt Judy loved Clay Aiken, and I would always say, you know he's gay, right? And she would go, he is not gay. He says he's not gay. And I would be like, he's gay. He may not know it yet. He may be confused, but he's definitely gay, and the whole world knows it. So yeah. It's like when he announced, okay, I want to announce something to everyone, and this may become a shock to you guys, but I'm gay, okay? I'm queer.
Clay Aiken came out of his mother's vagina tossing confetti in the air.
I know, but it's just like some people totally are like, gay. If someone says they're not gay, I mean, I can understand, like, if I was like, guys, I'm not gay, and you guys, yes, you are, I'd probably get upset or whatever, but if I was like, guys, I'm not gay, I just talk like this, okay?
I just need to see a speech therapist.
Just because I wear guyliner, what's the big deal?
It's because I'm long in the tube.
By the way, my wife hates when I talk like that. Heather's always like, stop talking like that. I think she's afraid I'll turn gay while I'm... Oh, my God. I think I turned gay.
I can't stop.
I'm only attracted to the guys now. Oh, it's something... Stuck. Oh,
I need penis.
Oh, my God.
Gay.
Well, definitely. Okay, guys. Cake Boss. We got to talk about the Cake Boss early, right?
Man, it was so suspenseful.
So
week.
Compelling, guys. The Cake Boss. First,
I couldn't believe my eyes.
The main part of the show was about a bridezilla, Steven. That's right. Hey, if you say bridezilla, you automatically know what you're dealing with, right?
When you say bridezilla, do you know what you say?
That's so gay.
That's
Knock
a bridezilla.
No, seriously, though.
That's a bridezilla.
It's insulting.
It is insulting. So there's this brat who's getting married. And
oh, isn't she ever a brat?
Yes. And I guess her mom is like, knows Buddy. She's been getting cakes for years. And
Buddy's been giving her the cake. Oh!
And she's a real bitch to her mom, is she not? So she has Buddy make her a cake, and I think the cake is pretty as wedding cakes go, I guess, you know? I'm not gay or anything.
It's a little plain, but most wedding cakes are supposed to be kind of plain.
And she doesn't like it. But here's what follows, is that when Buddy walks away, and I don't know if this is scripted or not, but the girl has a look in her eyes like an insane person.
Yeah, she does have that crazy eye look.
He walks away, and she's upset because it's just a white cake. Everything's it's just plain. Oh, it's boring white cake. She starts grabbing icing, starts just squirting it all over the cake, just like graffiti. Like, I want
yeah, there
green
just happens
hair.
To be a shelf with about a billion bags of yeah. colored icing. There.
So Buddy comes around the corner. He's like, what the? And they're... She's like, oh, I thought I'd show you an example of what I want. So I'm just helping you out a little. He's like, what the boop. Let's go ahead and check this out. Cause this bitch be crazy. And also, Bill, you know when he goes to tell the rest of his workers that they're going to make a new cake or whatever? And what,
yes.
That's not scripted, right?
Oh, no, not at all. It didn't sound like they were delivering lines that were written down in front of them.
Let's check this out.
Buddy?
What?
I have an Allison here. She's getting married tomorrow, and she wanted to come in and check out her cake.
Oh, they used the real intercom.
She want to check on a cake?
Yeah.
Okay, send her up.
Okay, hon, you could go right up.
This isn't something that happens often, but when it does, I'm happy to have my brides come see my work. Hey.
Hi, I just want to see my wedding cake.
No problem. Are you getting excited? You here the day before your wedding?
Can I see it?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm going to get it. Let me pull it out for you. Come check it out.
Oh, my God, it's so ugly. Are you serious?
They put it on a table. I look at her, and she's like, I hate it. This is kind of what we said. You know, I said I'm going to do the calla lilies. I'm going to do the draping down it.
It looks just, like, really traditional. I'm not sure if I came across as, like, super traditional.
No.
Or if you got the wrong idea, or if my mom paid you extra money to, like, make it extra boring, or what
he
was going
exactly
on.
Exactly what
really
they
what
said to do.
I had in mind.
I know.
And the cake was actually one of the very important parts to me.
I mean, I...
All right, so do you just want to, like, make a whole new cake?
For tomorrow?
There's really no color here. I mean, I told you I was wearing purple shoes, like blue soles.
No, I know, but you're going to have to give me a second. Let me go talk to my team and see what I can do.
And, you know, he's really going out around the corner counting
to 10. I walk out of the room for a second, and what's going on? She goes, she grabs the piping bags, and starts squirting my cake.
Whoa.
I don't appreciate what you just did. You come into my bakery, you squirt all icing all over this cake, you know. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore.
I mean, I don't know how else, you know, to spell
Listen, I know that, but that's not what we agreed on.
It's inspiration.
So you want me to bring this to your wedding tomorrow? Do you want to show this to
you? No, I
want
a new one.
Oh, you want a new one? I should bring you this. Because you ruined this one.
I was giving you an art lesson.
You know what? I'm going to be nice now. Just do me a favor and go. Okay?
I look forward to the cake. I know it's going to be awesome. I think you probably
Oh, wow, the nerve of this girl.
Yeah, right. I'd bring that cake.
Bye.
I know your new cake's going to be even better.
My first thought is I ain't making this cake. I'm aggravated.
Aggravated? We have a lot of work, too. We ain't nowhere near finished today.
Next thing I know, the mother's like bawling her eyes out over the phone to me saying how sorry she was and how she'd pay for another cake.
You're a good customer, you know, and I want to do the right thing for you. Listen, Danny.
Yeah.
Come on, we gotta do this cake.
What cake?
This is a pain in the ass.
Oh. I'm not doing it. That cake over there. I'm not doing it.
You should have been like, all right, you need to stop.
No.
I did.
Who acts like that?
We ain't doing another cake, so let him handle it. We ain't doing another cake.
You should deliver
that cake. Make another cake. Make another cake.
She is
it's Johnny Two Cakes.
Now we have to be here all night long.
All right, listen. I gave the mother my word. All right, if I say we're making a cake, we're going to make the cake, whether we like it or not.
That's
what he should have done. Make her a new cake with brown water.
Yeah, with the brown water.
But there's this whole stupid side plot with Stretch, the delivery guy.
Are we going to cover that too?
Well, I'm sure, Bill, that this guy is a hired actor. He's not even a delivery guy there.
He has to be.
Because he's like, hey, buddy, I need you to come see something out in the truck. And they set it up where he thinks he's setting up Buddy to get water dumped on him. But really, they turn the tables on Stretch. He gets water dumped on him again. And then Buddy delivers this line. Ugh.
Squirting my cake.
No, he didn't use that line.
Squirting my cake.
What does that even mean?
We can't get into that on this show.
You mess with the bull and you get the horns.
I would have kicked him in the nuts for saying that. But then...
That is quite possibly one of the most annoying cliched lines ever.
Oh, I know. And then he makes a new cake with lots of color, colored flowers, beautiful cake. And I'm going to say this. I don't know nothing about cakes, Bill, but that was one beautiful cake he made. The replacement cake.
That was a beautiful cake.
He goes
in. I couldn't believe it.
He personally takes it there to the wedding place where they're going to get married. And he wants to show the girl just to see how she reacts, and she won't go out there. No.
No.
She's like, no.
I thought maybe it was because she was embarrassed the first time around, but then I realized, no, she's just a bitch.
Right. And her mom was like, I'm so sorry. You know, apologizing for her ungrateful daughter.
I'm so sorry. I'll see you next Tuesday.
And there's some other cake they made with an airplane or something. We're going to start out with the sponge cake, put some fudge down. We're going to roll the fondant over it. It's like, that's how you make every cake.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious.
They do every cake the same. They put the pound cake, fudge, and roll the fondant over it.
Yeah. We're going to make this cake. It's Italian sponge cake with chocolate ganache.
Oh, yeah, they put strawberries.
Strawberries on it. It's going to be delicious.
It did look good. Before the episode ended, Buddy just had to get this into the groom we never saw, by the way. He probably didn't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I did my job. I made her a beautiful cake. You know, I got to say to her fiance, good luck, brother. You got your work cut out for you. Do your stuff.
Yeah, he's got his work cut out for him, don't he?
I don't even think she was actually getting married. I think
you
she was
with
hired
the bull,
there.
You get
she was
the
a
horse.
Hired actress, so is her mom.
Well, did you like Buddy showing up and he's got his wife and all of his kids and they're
having
this?
Goes, I work all week so hard, I gotta get home and see my wife and kids.
Yeah, he's a great guy, isn't he?
I gotta make them a special cake when I get home.
But don't you think it's funny, the show basically... You know,
I'm going to give my wife some icing.
I see the commercial now where it says, the new hit TLC show. I'm like, this show's a hit? Oh, my God. Cake Boss, it's a hit.
How many times do we get a commercial that works, it's a hit, into like an Italian thing.
Oh, that's what they mean. That like a hit on like the mob. Okay. Bang, bang, bang. But I can't wait to see what happens next week. What other invented?
Oh yeah. I can't wait to see which cake is uglier.
What kind of problems they have that they always work out. Before we go to the break, Bill, we're going to talk about Jesse James is a dead man.
Because he is, in fact, dead. He died a few years ago.
Oh, man, he died making an episode.
Yeah, this is finally his reanimated corpse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, last week he ran from the cops, and he got away. Somehow got away from the cops. I don't know how. Maybe it's because they were in on it and probably got paid.
Maybe it was a setup show.
Got paid an appearance fee. So this week he wants to ride to, I can't even say the name of the place.
Tuk.
To Hula Tuk?
No, whatever it is.
Tuk Yuk.
But they just call
it Tuk. Don't you watch Ice Road Truckers?
But they call it Tuk for short,
right? Yeah, they call it Tuk.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jesse James, he's always wanted to ride a motorcycle on it. Okay. He wants to take them some supplies that they can't get otherwise, Steven.
That only a motorcycle can haul.
Yes. See, the trucks will eventually drive there, but not yet because it's not completely frozen. Right. And the helicopter can't land because I was thinking it will get low and blow snow in your eyes. That'll hurt.
Well, so they had to have gotten there somehow.
So that helicopter that was following them with a camera can't land?
Right. No, it can't ever land.
There's got like one of those tanker helicopters.
It doesn't have any landing support. So.
It doesn't have the little ice pontoons
so basically,
or whatever you want to call it.
I think if the people really did, like he goes and fills a prescription for an old guy and he's going to take him his prescription pills.
And the guy has to speak like that in Inuit, like, tongue. He can't even speak English. He's like, I need my heart medication and subtitles. Help me, Jesse James. You're my only hope.
Right. It's like, dude, if you live in a place that gets cut off from the winter, couldn't you, like, get a couple of months' supply? Like, maybe think ahead a little?
Horseshit.
These kids are like, Jesse James, bring us hockey sticks. It's like, where the hell am I going to fit that on my motorcycle? They never showed
our Monster Garage.
Yeah, they never saw Monster Garage.
It was a piece together hockey stick. It wasn't.
We see you on Celebrity Apprentice.
You totally should have won.
Yeah. Ask Sandra Bullock to donate lots of money? He's like, I'm going to kick it away from that question. Oh, I'm so sick of you little shit.
Why you not mix pleasure with business?
Why you call him man stupid, basketball man? It's like, oh, God.
Why you so angry about drinking?
So, here's the best part. Before he even goes to this place, Tuk for short, he wants to know if he can change his tire in the snow, so they put him in a meat locker and they freeze him.
See, that's the great thing about it. It wasn't a meat locker. It was an ice house. And they had it for like some stupid reason, they hung two slabs of meat in there.
Just like, to show us. We can freeze meat.
This
will
look awesome on camera. Let's just hang slabs of meat in
here. It would have been awesome if they had like Klondike bars in the background.
It gets down to 20 degrees in here.
They should have had an ice sculpture of a motorcycle.
That would have
been even better.
So he's sitting there, and he's like, ooh, and they're like, okay, go to change a tire, and he still does it in record time.
And he does it faster than whenever he was, like, at body temperature.
And Jesse's like, I just like to prove these scientists stupid. But, of course, the star of the show isn't Jesse James. It's the announcer guy. He tells us.
It is every week. He steals it.
When they're in that ice house, he's telling us how Jesse James is only degrees away from not being able to warm up again or something like that.
Yeah. Once you get to hypothermia, you'll never warm up again.
But Jesse's fine. Here's the best part. Because I was watching this with my daughter, my five-year-old daughter, and they showed animation of what happens if you crash into the ice. What happens? Your body starts to freeze, and your heart stops, and your brain shuts down. She was like, your brain stops? She was like, Mom, your brain stops when you get frozen, and your heart starts to slow down. And she's just, like, obsessed with that. And she was
she's going to have nightmares.
Well, I think she sat on her big wheel, so she was riding across the ice, too, as she was watching
it. Well, that's awesome.
She was getting into it, and I was doing a voice. She was really getting into it. I go, oh, no, Emma is stuck in the doorway. How will she get out of this? And she would, like, try to hop off. The freezing cold temperatures are freezing her feet. I think I did a pretty admirable job there.
Yeah, but, I think you did as well as you could under the circumstances.
Let's go ahead.
Without a script.
I want everyone to close their eyes and picture this in their heads as he describes what will happen to us if we submerge into freezing waters.
The unfinished ice road is full of hidden, deadly hazards.
Oh, no.
If Jesse hits a patch of thin ice, the 800-pound bike will sink right through, pulling him with it.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
The water will immediately begin freezing the outer layers of his skin.
Oh.
To save his vital organs, his blood vessels will retract, cutting off blood flow to his hands, feet, and face.
Those bastards.
It will only take 5 minutes for his core body temperature to drop below 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, my God.
His heart will give out. His brain will shut down. And it's all over.
Whoa. They had a nice CGI graphic during all that, too. How many times did they show us what will happen if you break through the ice? And they showed this old highlight reel from the public library. I guess it's stock footage of a snowmobile going through ice. They showed it over and over again. It's like, all right, we get it. That's what it looks like when you go through the ice. And
I can't believe they just fell through the ice. They're going to die.
And Jesse, he has these cool wheels with screws in them that grip to the ice. When he shows up there in Alaska, he's got a dude who's going to go with him. And he's like, my special wheels didn't show up, so I'm screwing these screws into the wheels. I was like, what the hell is that guy doing? He's like, he's like putting screws all around the wheels. And did you notice what Jesse James is kind of like, huh? Kind of looking at him like, that dude's freaking crazy if he's going to ride the... Like, I expected the screws to start popping off as soon as he got outside, but
that
they seem to work.
Screws in his wheels. He's crazy.
But there's a part where he falls over. The guy who's riding with Jesse, he falls to the left. He falls over in the snow, and he goes, "Ah, crap!" And he stands up, and he keeps going. But on this show, he falls over. Point of view camera. He's falling over in the frozen snow, and the guy's like, "Oh crap!" And then
I love the line. The guy goes, "His tires have completely failed."
And then just
you think, "Oh no!" Like the tire blew. The screws
are coming out, or whatever. And Jesse's not paying attention. He's too busy with his own problems. They go to commercial. They come back and they show it again. When we last saw the guy riding with Jesse, he fell over.
They showed it again.
Like, "Oh crap!"
Yeah.
His tires had locked up. It's like, oh, my tires are locked up. Jesse's not paying attention. And then they cut to, but he caught up with Jesse. And it's like, what? Wait, what, did we miss something here? You mean he was fine? And then they show him, they get to their camp 2 hours late or whatever, and their bikes may freeze. They got to take their bikes with them. They can't just leave them.
They got to keep them running all the time.
And Jesse's chopping down trees, and the chainsaw locks up with sap.
The sap gets frozen. Oh, no. The sap is frozen the chain. Jesse's got to file the sap off.
Yeah, he's, like, cleaning the sap off or whatever. Did they just have to fill the hour of the show?
Yeah, I think they just made shit up.
The stuff I did think was cool is when they would ride full speed on the ice. They were just going, wah, just hauling ass and having a great time.
The guitar music is incessant.
The, you know, the kind of like metal
music.
It
was like when he was standing up at the end riding into the town, you know.
Yeah. Jesse James, he come bring us hockey sticks.
Oh, Jesse James, where my hockey stick, you prick?
Jesse, my heart. Oh, give me!
He's
like, when you have that, he like
out.
Rips a little bag, prescription bag open. He unscrews the child safety lid. He flicks one pill, and the guy opens his mouth and rolls right in his mouth. Drinks some water, and he's like, "And Jesse saved this old
then
man's
they do
life."
They do it CSI style. They go in there and they see the heart start pumping.
Yeah, it goes straight down into his stomach. The acid of his stomach has started to eat
his esophagus, down his stomach.
The heart pill disintegrates in his stomach, and it shows it helps his heart.
And it's absorbed into his bloodstream and attaches to the red blood vessel.
All of a sudden, it enters his bloodstream, and he's so much better.
I wanted to see someone.
How are you doing, Jesse James?
Jesse James, my daughter about to give birth. He's like, oh, my God, I've got to leave her my waters, bro. He's like, her water is frozen, and the heart's freezing air.
He's going to have to deliver this baby now.
He's like, we can only deliver her back where you came from. He hops back on the bike with the pregnant girl, and they ride back on the ice lake or whatever the hell
but
it is.
The baby is coming out into Jesse's back. He has to stop and pull the baby out. It's coming out backwards.
Oh, my God.
Drop below 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
I love that guy. So what do you guys say? We take a break and we come right back and talk about the Top Chef Masters. Let's do it.
Seven chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Sure, we all love these new Giggles cookies with the peanut butter and fudge cream inside the funny faces. But all that laughing, slapping tables in the commercials, who'd act that way?
Everybody.
New peanut butter and fudge Giggles cookies.
Aloha, Fruity Pebbles. Yabba dabba delicious.
Aloha, Big Kahuna. Teach me to hang ten.
My pleasure.
Oh, hang close to these yummy Fruity Pebbles. Mmm, totally Fruita Rudy.
Here's the caveman kick out. The Flintstone fly away.
Uh-oh. Arning my pebbles.
The board will boogie.
House Fruity Pebbles cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast.
You can keep on moving with Twix.
Old-timers versus Central High. Okay, youngster, you can kiss it goodbye.
Dance. Round in the bases.
Catch those whippers, snappers, faces.
Chocolate, peanut butter, satisfaction. Like a crispy cookie, let you stay in the action.
Won't slow you down.
When you gotta get around.
Twix, let's show them what you can do. Trotting on home.
23 skidoo, do, 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 do.
Keep on moving with Twix. Ghostbusters!
Each sold separately.
Ghosts in a football field?
Nah.
Hey, buddy, see anything weird? It's Tombstone Tackle.
Don't lose your head. Let's take a hike.
There's a policeman. We're safe.
Oh, no, it's ex-cop.
I can't believe my eyes.
Whoa, we're not scared.
Peter Venkman with Grissom Twosome, Tombstone Tackle, and ex-cop each sold separately. The real Ghostbusters, new from Kenner.
In 1701, an obscure chef wanted to impress his king.
Let's see, chocolate and peanut butter or chocolate and snails?
Chocolate and peanut butter.
What? I am the chef. You are the king. Chocolate and snails.
He just missed discovering the great taste of pure milk chocolate and delicious peanut butter. Not to mention impressing the king. And so the world would have to wait for the two great tastes that taste great together in Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
One, two, three.
I can hear it, feel it when the clock strikes three. I can touch it, taste it, I'm finally free. Cause it's my time, it's up to me. I see when it's up to me. I can rock it, feel it, do as I see fit. I can play it, shout it, make the most of it. I see when it's up to me. I see when it's up to me. I see when it's up to me.
Hello, my name is Crispy. How do you do? Crispy Critter's cereal entirely new. It's indubitably delicious. Oh, here comes Crispy Critters, a good wholesome bunch. The low-sugar cereal with lots of crunch.
Yes, it's indubitably.
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 Oh, Crispy Critter cereal is part of a balanced breakfast.
Cha-cha-cha-cha.
Marshmallow crispies, lots of fruity marshmallow shapes. It's you snappers, crackle, popping over lots of fruit taste.
Wow!
Fruity marshmallow crispies, orange, lemon, raspberry, grape. It's snap, crackle, and popping with lots of fruit taste.
Kellogg's fruity marshmallow crispies, part of this complete breakfast.
Mmm, how fruity!
Fruity marshmallow crispies, you'll be half crackle, popping over lots of fruit taste.
Chase the jack when you jack the phone. Apple queen, apple.
Applejack. Cinnamon crunchy fun to eat. Real apples make it apply sweet.
The apply sweet part of a complete breakfast.
Apply sweet rock and roll.
The bottom of the bowl.
Kellogg's Applejack.
Wouldn't a free 5-ounce Dairy Queen dipped cone taste good right now? The coupons on specially marked boxes of Apple Jacks. Imagine chocolate, butterscotch, and free.
Mmm.
Sega challenges you with Afterburner, a game so exciting you can imagine you're in for the fight of your life. Game and accessories sold separately.
Get ready.
Afterburner gives you the real dogfight excitement of the arcade version.
Yeah.
Like barrel rolls, nose dives, supersonic speed, and radar lock-ons.
Your turn to burn. Let's take it home.
Afterburner. Only on the Sega system. Sega. The challenge will always be there.
G.I. Joe!
Go, Joe. Looks like you're in trouble now. Cobra's closing in. Power Wheels Tracker, do your stuff. Only you can save the world from the forces of evil. You and your Power Wheels G.I. Joe Tracker.
Bow, bow.
Power Wheels!
Bow, bow.
Power Wheels! Own power motor makes it go.
Uh-oh. Your powerful water blaster will wipe them out.
Oh, oh.
Power wheels.
Oh, oh.
Yo, yo.
Power wheels. Power makes it go.
The G.I. Joe Tracker. New from Power Wheels. The Micro Machine Man here presenting the genuine original, colossally collectible, most midget miniature replicas of the real thing. Micro Machines. Dramatically detailed, terrifically trimmed, precisely painted, stupendously styled, and smaller than a nut. This one or that one. Now look at our bigger, better collection of all new Micro Machines, including U.S. classics, Corvettes, Stockers, convertibles, Formula Pro Circuit, and rally races, hot bikes, boats, military vehicles, and construction crews. Plus a fabulous suite of Micro Machine aircraft and fighter planes, and the new deluxe Micro Machines, each with doors, hoods, and trunks that really open and close. Plus a seriously small series with outrageously oversized wheels. The Micro Machines vehicles and deluxe vehicles, the one and only original miniatures. Collect them, race, and trade them from the lube. Remember, if it doesn't say Micro Machines, it's not the real thing.
Here's something new and you should see it. Here's something a whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juicers, candy. Real juice in everyone.
That's cool.
With the juice in fruit juicers, candy.
Strawberry.
You think they grow on a tree.
Citrus fruit.
Here's something new and you should see it.
Watch it.
Here's something a whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juicers, candy.
Berries.
Real juice means a whole lot of fun.
The grand opening of the Kool-Aid Wacky Warehouse, the wackiest store in the world.
If it isn't wacky, it isn't in it.
Sorry, it's for kids only. To the parents' playpen. Play nice. Now for a tour of my awesome store.
First floor, wacky wear.
Outrageous.
And if it's wacky sports you're wild for,
sports gear.
We'll very happily equip you wackily. Next stop, a toast at the top.
Chill grill.
We've got the great taste that'll make you wacky. Here's to the Wacky Warehouse, the wackiest store in the world.
Gonna have me some fun. I'm 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 gonna have me some
fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. Ah, yes. Hey, we're back, everybody. And we're about to talk about Top Chef Masters. But that's not before reminding you to join the Nowhere Mulberry Book Club. We're reading The Gunslinger, Dark Tower, Book 1. When we're done with that, we're going to read the second one. And then see where it goes from there.
Drawing of three.
Top Chef Masters. I'm definitely enjoying the show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
I knew who that Wiley Dufresne guy was because of him being a guest judge. I didn't know who the short-haired lesbian chick was.
Isn't that funny how you see her and go, oh, that's totally a lesbian.
Lesbian. Restaurant San Francisco. Lesbian. Short, spiky hair. Lesbian.
And she just looked hard. You know, like that
vegetarian food.
Look.
Yeah. She looked like a tough chick, and they had the Wiley guy who's into that gastronomy stuff.
Yeah.
And then his buddy.
Molecular gastronomy.
And then his, you know what, I gotta say something. I don't know anything about it. I haven't tasted that kind of food, but I'd rather just eat regular food.
It's fun. It's fun to eat.
Now, the old chick, I don't remember any of their names, but you know the one who was the oldest of all of them.
And yeah.
She just made simple food, but she made it good. Her food looked good to me.
Yeah, it did look really good.
Do you remember her name?
something tracked. Suzanne tracked, I think.
When I saw her, I was like, I wonder if this is going to be the last week where the older guy seems to have the advantage over them, just because, I don't know, maybe your mind just thinks differently when you're older and you have more experience under your belt. The Wiley guy was trying too hard, wasn't he? He's overthinking anything. Okay, I've been a guest judge.
He
I got really bold.
So frustrated.
I think there's one clip where it showed where they were preparing the quick fire challenge, where they had to make things from a vending machine, where he was just dropping F bombs left and right.
Throughout the entire show, he was cursing.
Something
that annoyed me is the two female chefs. You know, they see this the vending machine challenge, and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to find a vending machine. What am I going to do? And it's that food snobbery that annoys the hell out of me.
Last season on the regular Top Chef, they did a thing where you had to make food out of canned food. And they're like, oh my God, canned food? Are you shitting me?
the moment you lose that perspective of the real world, you can't always use the ingredients you want.
Right, but you know what?
You kind of lose your bearings.
But that track lady, she made the best meal, though. She got a 5 on that. I knew she was going to win.
Yeah, but it's like she said, she has 2 sons. She knows about Fritos and Doritos.
I know what Fritos, Cheetos, and Doritos are. I was like, okay, well, she should be fine then.
So she made a Frito chili pie. And
she made just crazy shit. At first, I thought they could only make stuff, Bill, with that stuff, but they could also add ingredients that were in the pantry. So it wasn't really like...
It's kind of like Iron Chef, how they have the main ingredient, and then they can build around it.
You know, I would have been like, okay, I'm going to shove a hot dog into this Dr. Pepper can, okay? And then I'm going to put some peanut butter in the hole here. Then I'm
What's funny about how everybody uses Dr. Pepper, I've used Dr. Pepper in, like, barbecue sauce and stuff like that. It lends a great flavor whenever
you're cooking.
Well, I've
also noticed before that Top Chef is sponsored by Dr. Pepper. Have you noticed
that? Too.
And also, I can't help but notice, but GLAD may have something to do with the show. Not sure.
Yeah, I think GLAD might.
It's like a billion boxes.
They have a little bit of GLAD stuff.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, but the main thing about the main task was they had to make a meal of stuff you could find on the Lost Island, right? And they even had a Dharma pantry of stuff that you could get at the store that could possibly be found in the Dharma pantry. And they were going to serve this to the writers of Lost. They had Damon Lindelof, Carlton Cuse, and then some other people that I was kind of disappointed they didn't say their names underneath them.
Yeah, the writers. I think that would have been a nice...
Which one was Brian K. Vaughan? I wanted to know. I have no idea what he looks like, but they didn't tell us.
He wasn't there.
He wasn't there?
Because I know what he looks like. He wasn't there.
You know, when it came down to the meals that they made, all of them made something to do with...
Boar.
Yeah, boar. Can't believe I can forget that.
There was boar. There was sea urchin. There was all kinds of fish. I mean, they had their choice of pretty much anything they wanted.
And the embarrassing thing, I don't think I've seen anyone do that on the regular Top Chef where they leave something off the plate and Wiley Dufresne leaves chicken off of one guy's plate.
He put 2 chickens on somebody else's plate.
Yeah, the other girl has 2 chickens. But
his face, whenever one of the judges said, I don't have any chicken on my plate, I literally thought he was going to have a heart attack.
He was like,
oh my God, I can't believe I just did that.
And I'm trying to remember stuff. I guess it was all pretty straightforward besides that. It was just that some people had some things that were okay, or that one Lesbadasian, she put this weird blob of sauce or something.
It was a papaya kind of baby food.
Yeah, it was like a glob just sitting with the rest of the food. That didn't work. But, of course, the older lady, she nailed it. She had like a bowl just full of stuff. Was there a clam in there, some boar, some noodles?
You had to eat it in a circle.
Yeah.
Everybody liked it. I thought the other guy was really good too, that Bowles. I think Graham Elliott Bowles, who was the bigger guy with the tattoos and the red Dolce & Gabbana glasses.
Didn't he also have a flat cap on?
I didn't see it, but if he did, I'd have to punch him.
And he, his main thing, he was concentrating on beating Wily, and they were kind of like playing off each other. But it, I don't, did they not pay attention to the other lady? They're,
no, I think, she, you know, they're such good friends that they just played off of one another, and the ladies kind of had themselves.
But one thing I'm excited about is the guy last week and the lady this week, when they get to the finals, it's going to be really good chefs, isn't it? Going to be pretty,
oh, yeah,
pretty awesome.
I'm definitely looking forward to the final showdown. I want to see who comes out on top. I'm excited about next week because that Rick Bayless is going to be on, and he's like the original Bobby Flay. You know, he's the guy that kind of pioneered that whole true Mexican Latin flavor cuisine and brought it to America.
Nice.
So he should have some pretty interesting stuff.
Well, what's funny here is they've talked about before when they're debating the judging at the judges table, they make them all wait in a room where they drink liquor or whatever, and they decided to make cookies while they're waiting. So let's check this out.
I can make chocolate chip cookie dough in less than 5 minutes.
So you're waiting for the judges to tally up their stars. And I was just looking at the other chefs thinking, we need to make some cookies right now.
Come on.
He blew our cover.
I think it's always fun to make cookies with other chefs.
That's going
to
take some time, my dear. Can you microwave a cookie?
Yeah, not good.
Deep fry? Hands here?
Haven't tried that yet.
I'm good with a saute pan.
Everybody kind of just immediately grabbed one, you know? I think they liked it a lot.
It's a fine cookie.
Elizabeth tried to bake some cookies. I don't know how to beat that.
High five on that one, Chef.
I wanted a cookie.
Too bad it wasn't the chocolate chip cookie challenge.
That's the main thing that sucks about Top Chef is you don't get any food while you're watching it.
Yeah, I know. It's so... I'll find myself, like, my mouth watering, like, oh. And Swiley, he read my mind. He posted on the forum the recipe for that macaroni and cheese that Hubert Keller made last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that, and I had already printed out the recipe and bought the shrimp for it and everything. I was going to make it tomorrow.
I read it, and I was like, can I make this? I don't know if I can. I need to give it to...
Oh, you totally could make it. It's very easy.
Well, I was thinking of just giving it to my mother-in-law to make for me. Hey, Father's Day's coming up, right, on Sunday?
You gotta learn. You gotta do that shit.
Here's the recipe. I'll be waiting for it on Sunday. Yeah,
some
I
mac
know.
And cheese, some
You're
shrimps.
Right.
And...
I do need to make it. But they say certain there's certain terms in the recipe. I was like, I don't know what that means.
You can always look it up. That's not hard.
You call up Bill there. Hey, Bill.
You mean I don't give up and just want somebody else to make it for me?
But that's the whole fun of making it yourself and then enjoying it after.
Right. Definitely. You know, I'll probably just get some Kraft macaroni, drop some shrimp in it. Yum.
That would be gross.
that sounds gross.
Really gross.
Exactly. All right. True Blood is back. Hey!
And boy, ever is it back.
Wow. There's a lot of subplots going on this show, aren't there?
Tons.
It's crazy. And, you know, I love...
I was getting confused.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but I didn't everyone assume Lafayette would be dead in the car?
Right.
I think it's really cool that they pulled a little twist on us where...
Well, wasn't he even dead in the book?
In the book, in the car, it's Lafayette. And even I've even seen people on, you know, EW, you know, Entertainment Weekly, people in different places giving that spoiler out. Oh, it's Lafayette, pissing people off. You know, I read the book, ooh, I'm big shit or whatever. I love that the fact that Alan Ball just totally changed it up where I was like, huh? Like,
yeah,
it's the chick
and
from a different
world. And that
was
awesome to see the woman's face, like, frozen in fear.
Yeah, somebody ripped her heart out. I thought that was really cool. And then they cut down to the basement and it's a weird Saw scenario where they're chained up. I was like, and it took me a second to realize who that was.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, that's Lafayette. Where the hell are
they? I was like, that's cool. Because I was like at the end of the last season, you think he's dead.
It was a cool reveal. Like, now we know where he is, and where the hell is he?
Well, you don't know where he is.
How gross is that? Also, the guy's like, bucket! And it's like, oh, I bet it smells pretty bad.
Yeah, I thought he was going to puke or something, and then whenever he sat on it and started... taking a dump.
But I love that.
Totally done without that.
When they pull the body out, you know, first the Sookie and Tara are screaming, then they pull a body out. What's that cop's name? The drunk guy?
I can't remember.
I love his voice.
Andy? Is it Andy?
Yeah, Andy. He's like, oh, she don't got no pulse because her heart's ripped out, and pulls her out, and it's Miss Jeanette, and Tara's like, ah! And then Sugi starts screaming again. So Sam goes running. And Annie's like, will you two shut up? Because they're just like screaming as loud as can be. And while all that's going on, I think it's really funny that, you know, she dates a vampire. And she's been around a lot of dead bodies lately. So she calls Bill. And I love the conversation of, like, something really horrible is going on right here right now. And, you know, like, somebody's murdered at work again. So I'll be late. And Bill, he's taking care of his new...
fledgling vampire.
His yeah. hot little vampire.
Yeah, his hot little teen vampire. And this scene was really funny, I thought, where he's telling her the rules of the house. Let's check this out.
Your bedtime will be at 4 a.m. and not a minute later.
Whatever.
And whilst you are under my roof, hunting is completely forbidden.
Like I'd know where to find people in this bumfuck town. Are we even in a town?
We also recycle in this house. True blood and other glass items go in the blue container, and paper products go in the white container.
Ooh, can I have one of those?
No. Hello?
It's me. I'm gonna be a little late. Something real awful happened out here. I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
Do you need me? I can meet you at the bar.
I always need you. But you just stay there. It'll give me something to look forward to.
Take your time.
Okay.
Jessica, I'm going to have a guest coming over shortly.
Can we eat her?
You may not.
Well, who is she? Is she your girlfriend?
Yes.
Is she a vampire?
No.
Oh. Well, do I have to be nice to her?
I need you to go upstairs and get cleaned up. Remove your makeup and make yourself presentable. I will not have you looking like a slattern.
A what?
Lady of the evening.
Awesome.
You're so proper.
That was great. And I love the show. It's just hilarious and disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, I love that, you know, he's a vampire and he can't just come out and say whore.
Yeah.
He just, it's like,
he's so
slattern.
A lady of the evening.
And what about when Lafayette's down there with that dumb hillbilly guy who's one of the guys who burned those other vampires last season? They set that house on fire.
He was the one that made fun of him being gay, too.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't eat a burger with AIDS.
He's like, here's your AIDS burger. But I love how stupid he is. He was talking about, like, his friend got pissed off at him, threw him out a window, and shattered his hip. And he's just like, will you please shut up?
Then he tells the little story about his homosexual experience.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That was great. He goes, well, I haven't told anybody this. That was great.
So why are you telling me now?
And what was that when they finally show Eric come down the stairs and they're like, oh, yeah, they're below Fantasia. What
but
the hell did
was,
he...
I was cracking up that he had highlights.
Yeah.
He
I was like,
the,
what the hell?
The aluminum foil in his hair. He was getting his... his hair dyed.
That was hilarious because I was like, is he dyeing his hair or something?
Uh-huh.
And I love that guy.
Well, even vampires need to accentuate their highlights once more.
And I'm trying to think of other stuff. Oh, Sookie finds out that...
Well, he picks up the guy and eats him.
Yeah, what was that? He like, is like, da, bloodsucker, and he sticks
the
silver on his face.
Yeah.
And I love how he's like...
Basically hits his artery right in his side or something. It was awesome.
But I think it's funny that he burns Eric on the face and takes like two steps up the stairs. Like he doesn't get very far.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you forget that it's not the cross that
right.
It's the silver.
Hurt him, it's the silver.
Right. And I
like,
guess...
I for a moment I was like, wait a second. I thought Bill said that crosses don't hurt. And then I was like, oh, it was silver.
Right. And what I know that Lafayette's in trouble right now, but I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to glamour him or something, but they'll find out he didn't kill Stephen Root, right?
Yes. Well, they'll find out that he had a deal with him for blood, and that's still not
kosher.
You still get in trouble
but,
for that?
But yeah, I don't know if the way they're teasing it is he wants to be a vampire, but who knows?
Right. That's what's interesting about how it separates from the book, because now a character that died in the book just gets to keep going on, and they get to, you know, create more with that.
Or do they kill him later? They kill him somewhere.
Oh, yeah, they could always do that.
when they first started the series, they probably were planning on killing him, but the guy just took the character and really made it his own to the point where they probably thought, hey, we can't get rid of a guy this good.
And that's another thing about the books. I've read three of the books now, and they're all from Sookie's point of view. So when she's not around those characters, they're just not in the book. So they have no way to really flesh out other characters unless she's with them. So what's great about the show is, you know, they have all these subplots with these other characters, and they can expand so much and it not really interfere with stuff that happens in the book, you know, because it's just like added layers to the story, which is really cool.
It doesn't really and the Michelle Forbes stuff is creeping me out.
Yeah, what the hell is going on there?
I just find her creepy looking to begin with, but then to make her like this sexed up, crazy, vibrating witch. I don't know what the hell she is.
Yeah, what is that?
I was wondering if she's like some Greek goddess or something, you know, that...
Well, what's interesting, you know, remember she had that giant pig with her? Is that bald dude her pig? Like, is he a shapeshifter, I'm wondering?
Maybe, but who would shapeshift to a pig?
I don't know. Why does Sam...
I mean, of all the things to choose, why would you choose a pig?
Do you like that? He shows up as a kid, and he's stealing her food and jewelry and stuff. Then she has sex with him or whatever, and he runs away and steals all of her money. I don't know. I like how they're just...
I like that after all those years, he had never spent any of that money, you know? He's like,
he's probably too scared to after she vibrated on top of him.
Yeah, he's like, what are you? But also, the thing with Tara, which I thought was funny, is when they're questioning her in the police station, she leaves with her mom, and Marianne comes up to her, and she's like, oh, hi. And she's like, oh, nice to meet you. And then she just goes off on her about being this horrible mother. I thought that was hilarious.
I think Tara's the only character that I could do without. She just annoys me. She gets under my skin. It's like she has this tough appearance, yet she's completely clueless to what's going on around her. It like gets under my skin. Maybe that's what they want, but it just...
Well, I started wondering this. Like, when she tells her mom that Miss Jeanette was a fraud, she didn't really have to. Her mom just could have known that Miss Jeanette was murdered and it would be awful, but she didn't have to say, and she was a fraud. But also, maybe Tara did that just to hurt her mom because of
Her
mom's treated her whole life.
Right.
But I think the stuff with Jason is interesting with the church... The Church of the Sun, whatever it's called. I'm really interested in what happens there with all that.
That's going to come to a pretty nasty head, I bet.
The weird anti-vampires. Because
these people are just terrible.
It's funny how he just gets sucked into everything.
All they have to do is tell him he's special and he's not stupid. And automatically he's like, I like this place.
They're nice to me.
But I'm excited about what happens in True Blood. I'm glad it's back. Here.
Good show.
All right, guys.
Good show.
Bill, let's do the news. What do you say?
All right. Let's do the news.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
I love you, Kitchen Garden! I'm going to get this one out of the way first. I already told you about it. It's a downer. I mean, it's a total downer, but it's cool Pixar. Colby Curtin's a 10-year-old with a rare form of cancer. It's vascular cancer, which doctors found in 2005 from a tumor in her liver. And the one thing she wanted before she died was to see Pixar's Up. And it was really nice. They got a hold of Pixar, and they sent a employee out with a DVD of the film. And they set up a private viewing in the kid's home. It's really kind of sad because the vascular cancer made it impossible for her to actually see the movie. It's kind of it blinded her, so her mom had to tell her the film, And it's kind of sad because if you think about the film itself, it's about moving on and you lose someone you love and you move on and you try to, you know, get where you're going. And the parent didn't really know about it, so it kind of struck pretty hard with them. They got to watch it, and the girl said that she really loved the movie. And then 7 hours later, she died.
God, what the hell?
I know. But kudos to Pixar for giving this girl the chance to experience Up before she passed on. But it's so crazy how that happens. Like, they know when it's time to go, and they hold on just long enough to get what they want, and then that's it.
It was just like that kid in Fanboys, right? He held out for the
Except that that kid probably wanted to die.
Well, thank God she didn't have to hold out for the Night at the Museum movie.
Could you imagine if she was holding out for a Star Wars prequel?
It's like...
That poor girl. It would have been like an insult to injury. Got this rare form of cancer. I'm staying alive to see the movie.
That is so tragic and sad, but it's also really cool that they were able to fulfill that request.
Yeah, because, you know, movie companies tend to be so, like, pricky about screeners.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that Pixar just does their own thing, though, you know?
Yeah. But I just thought that was really
that
cool.
That show, The Pixar Story, have you ever seen that documentary? I can't believe I just said that show. I hate when someone says, did you see that show, that movie, Batman Returns? It's a good show or whatever. It's like, it's not a friggin' show, it's a movie. But The Pixar Story, the documentary, it just looks like the coolest place in the world to work. Does it
not?
Oh,
I know.
I mean, I know they actually do work there, but it also looks awesome to work there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was even an episode of that. It's kind of like Kitchen Impossible or something.
Right, right, right.
Where he had to prepare a meal based on, I think, Finding Nemo or something. And all of them are there. I mean, all of them were helping out, like Lasseter.
You mess with the bull and you get the horns.
And Andrew Stanton and all that. I thought that was really cool. And it showed the place and their work ethic and all that. And there's a place you want to work at if you're an animator or a filmmaker.
We need somebody from Pixar who listens to our show and invite us for a tour, right?
Yeah, get us into Pixar.
It's like, how is that Harry Knowles the only guy who gets invited to sets and stuff?
Fuck Harry Knowles.
Oh, my God.
I hate that guy.
Step in.
It's like,
my office.
I had to sit there and read that stupid Expendables set report.
Did you read
because
that?
Because I was interested in the movie.
And I was just like,
No!
That guy's an asshole. All right, moving on to better stories. Maybe equally as tragic, but stupid. All right, Chicago Tribune, a Northwest Chicago man who allegedly robbed a bank last week and apologized as he left
was arrested
Wednesday after he deposited some of the stolen dye-stained cash into his personal bank account.
Awesome.
You idiot.
Wow.
Victor Delphi of 6300 of the 6300 block of West Berry Avenue told FBI agents he woke up June 12th, decided to rob a bank because he didn't have any money.
Well, yeah.
That's why I rob banks, yeah.
Yeah, he shoplifted a pair of pantyhose from the thrift store.
Wow, he couldn't even afford that.
No,
wow,
he couldn't really even buy pantyhose for his head. Or I assume they were for his head. I hope they were for his head.
Goodbye, Dad.
Maybe he just needed the support so he could run.
Yeah, he needed the support. And walked to nearby Lincoln Park Savings Bank. Delphi put the pantyhose over his head in an alley near the bank, walked inside around 12:20 a.m., and allegedly announced that he had a gun and was robbing the bank. Teller handed over just over $5,000. As he left the bank, he turned and said, "I'm sorry, times are hard. I have to feed my family." Oh, well, that's a totally understandable excuse. He deposited $600 of the stained cash at two different bank banks.
Did he walk around the block and come back and go, hey, I just want you to deposit this money?
Yeah, really. And it said the money included a dye pack that exploded as he returned home. Two different bank branches deposited the money. As he tried depositing $590 in a drive-through window at a third bank branch, authorities said they saw the stains and called the police. Why would you? I don't get it. Don't use the money with the stain.
Wow.
Asshole. I mean, they probably would have eventually caught him, but still, what an idiot.
What's with these stupid criminals?
I'm infuriating. I'm infuriating.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
All right, a 22-year-old Bristol master criminal will spend 8 weeks in prison for attempting to smuggle a mobile phone by concealing it internally. Yikes.
Oh my god, it's so ugly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Aaron Walker had been ordered back to Horfield Prison on the 30th of April for breaching the license for a previous unnamed offense. When they subjected him to a strip search, the game was up. When taken to a cubicle, he produced a mobile phone wrapped in tissue that he had hidden in his rectum.
That's what I was saying, Bill. What kind of phone was it?
I hope it was one of those 1980s phones.
It wasn't a Razor phone, was it? Oh!
One of those 1980s big brick phones.
Yeah, one of those big brick phones he had hit up there.
Wasn't an iPhone, most likely.
I hope it wasn't. Those are a little wide.
Maybe it's the Pre.
The Palm Pre. Leo would be very upset at that. Okay, I'm going to end it there
because I can't
read any more of that.
Screw you.
That's okay, Leo. Calm down.
All right. A Jeffersonville, Indiana attorney, I guess, couldn't quite make his way home one night. He was found asleep by police in his neighbor's overturned garbage can Wednesday morning. After neighbors called police when they woke to find their trash can strewn on the ground and a man inside. Jeffersonville Police Chief Tim Dieringer said Wilder was cooperative when police arrived at the home on the Elk Point Boulevard and was able to walk back to his home next door. Yeah, he probably slept it off in the can. Wilder's son and daughter, both adults, were home and able to take care of him from there. No arrest was made as the result. Well, that's nice.
What the hell?
It's a real sound of him falling into the garbage can.
What the hell was that?
Although police records describe Wilder as a 1047, which is code for intoxicated, upon officer's arrival, no breath alcohol or sobriety test was administered. He lucked out there. It's an officer's discretion on what actions to take in each situation. Typically, if someone is that close to the home, they would just be escorted to their residence. I guess it had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he's sleeping inside a freaking trash can.
Hidden deadly hazards.
Yeah, really?
You get germs.
Yeah.
Could get and, really bad, really sick.
Yeah, you could get salmonella, E. coli. You never know what's in there.
Hey, you know what you could use to clean that thing?
What?
Sparkles like new!
Yeah, the kitchen gun!
Pizza Hut kind of sucks to begin with. I don't know anybody that actually goes to Pizza Hut because they enjoy the pizza.
Yeah, you just go if, like, we got to go to Pizza Hut. There's nothing
else. Yeah, so I guess they're starting to realize that. So guess what they decided to do?
What?
They're using a new name. The Hut.
Oh.
Yeah,
His heart will give out. His brain will shut down.
Pizza the Hut?
It's not no longer Pizza Hut. It's just The Hut.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the chief marketing officer explains, we're also introducing another vocabulary with the Pizza Hut, which is The Hut. That ties in nicely with today's texting generation. Oh, I guess because they're too easy to type in Pizza Hut.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Pizza's, what, two letters more than the?
The
so
Hut.
It's really tough to type in Pizza
Can
Hut.
Can you even sit down in a Pizza Hut anymore? Aren't they all, like, just carry-out places now?
No, there's ones around where I am that people actually go in and sit down and still have, like, the salad bar and the...
Oh, nice.
Jukebox and video games and stuff like
I
that.
I still don't get it.
And like the lunch thing, it's
I'll
always
go to CC's.
Packed. Whenever I drive past there, the lunch, all the lunch crowd is there because it's like $5 all you can eat with the salad bar. I mean, they still do a good business even though they're terrible.
You know, have you seen those commercials? Is it Pizza Hut pasta or whatever?
Oh
yeah.
My god,
crack me
Toscani
up.
Really? Pasta.
Will you really order that shit? Be delivered to your house.
I love the commercials where, like, we took Toscani pasta to Italy and served it to them. And they're like, oh,
I like
I like that five-star restaurant and the order. I'll have the macaroni with bacon.
Yes. Yes.
We fooled them at a five-star restaurant. Macaroni and cheese with bacon.
Five-star restaurant is complete without macaroni and bacon.
Yeah, I'm saying if I eat that, like, minutes later, I'm like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh.
I love this guy's justification for their new branding. Red is our mark. And when you see that red roof, people refer to it as The Hut. Oh, they do?
I always have.
This guy would be fired from his job pretty soon.
Yeah, I have never... And then he goes, The Hut is the perfect icon for our mobile generation. What are you talking about?
Squirting my cake.
This reminds me of like when Ryan on The Office, he got promoted when he said, we need to get into the computers and have a website and just be interactive. And they're like, okay. And they like gave him all this money to do it and it all just flopped and he got fired. He became addicted to coke and stuff. And now he's back to being just the, what is he, the receptionist or something?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But it's kind of the same thing. I know how to make Pizza Hut exciting again. And the boardroom's like, interesting, tell us more.
That makes total sense.
You know the way Kentucky Fried Chicken made initials KFC.
Yeah, The Hut.
We'll be
there. Are they going to change it to KGC now? The stupid commercial's like, Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
Yeah.
If I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm not getting my chicken grilled, thank you.
I got some of that grilled chicken. I ate two pieces, and my whole body, all the moisture was sucked out of my body.
I can imagine.
Water! Water!
So it's dry.
It was some dry-ass chicken.
Well, they probably just throw it on the grill and leave it there all day.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta admit it was good, but I didn't want to eat anymore.
No,
I thought I was going to die.
They grill it, and then because nobody buys it, because nobody's going to KFC for grilled chicken, sits under the heat lamp all day and dries out.
No, there's a place that I've been to in Arkansas that does this chicken called Over the Coals. It's fried chicken in this lemon pepper sauce.
Yeah.
And then they grill it afterwards, after they fry it.
Why would you ever do that?
It's awesome.
Why would you ever fry chicken, put sauce on it, and then grill it?
No. It's in the what you fry it with.
What is it? Oh, okay.
It's some
dry-ass
chicken.
They're also Pizza Hut, that is, or I'm sorry, The Hut.
Jesus Christ.
The Hut is also trying to present a more healthy image by introducing multi-grain crust. I'll pass, thanks.
All-natural
tomato sauce. Which
Wait. You know what that tells me? We haven't been using it until now.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell kind of sauce were they using before the all-natural sauce?
It doesn't matter. We're using natural sauce now.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I demand to know what the hell. I ate here last week. What the hell was in that sauce? Sir.
Mutated tomato paste and pig knuckles.
Oh, crap.
I remember a long time ago, what commercial was that? We need to find that for the break where they would talk about pizza with glue. Do you remember that? The cheese was glue.
Who was that?
I can't remember, but I was like, really? Ugh. Instead of cheese, you're eating glue. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm waiting for people. I mean, it's so stupid to rename it the Hutt. You could use, you know, Pizza the Hutt from Spaceballs, Jabba the Hutt from Star Wars. I mean, hell, this is dumb.
Check downstairs, because I think they're using that brown water.
Yeah, they're making pizza with brown water.
In another move of...
That brown water.
Completely short-sighted business, Electronic Gaming Monthly shut down earlier this year.
Right, that was sad.
Yeah, that was sad, because it's always been around. But you know what? If you happen to subscribe and you still had time on your subscription, you're in luck. Because apparently, the company that now owns the rights to EGM assumes that if you like video games, you also like chicks. So
oh,
that's
yeah.
why you're getting a prescription. Yes, it is a prescription. You're getting a subscription to Maxim.
Whoa.
Yeah, I love that assumption. You like video games? You'll love chicks.
Awesome.
So people that subscribe to EGM got a note in the mail informing them that since EGM has ceased publishing, the balance of your subscription will be fulfilled with Maxim.
So you don't get money back.
Yeah. Well, if you're, and I love this, if you're already a subscriber to Maxim, the balance of your subscription will be added to your existing Maxim subscription.
I don't appreciate what you just did.
Assholes.
Wow.
What if it's, you know, God forbid, what if it's, you know, a straight woman that happens to subscribe to EGM, like your sister or her, or, you know, maybe a gay person who doesn't quite understand.
They'll give it to their straight friend or brother.
Right.
Gay best friend.
Your gay best friend.
I guess like he would give it to you.
Who's not gay?
Sanjaya, why don't you want these Maxims? Oh, I really liked Electronic Gaming Monthly. Just take this.
I was in the video games, really, and this doesn't have anything about them in there.
There's too much boobs here.
Complete disaster.
All right. I think these Denver cops are out of control. Have you noticed anything, Steven, about Denver cops?
Yeah, you were just there. What happened down there, Steven?
I don't know. The airport shut down for about 45 minutes today.
I'm betting it had something to do with the cops.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I bet they're out of control because the Denver police officer has been suspended after allegedly brandishing his gun at a McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and this is after his order took too long to fill.
The cops have had enough.
I want my Big Mac now.
I want my damn nuggets, you bastards! Don't forget the hot mustard!
What would be wrong with that?
There's
using
no
what you got.
There's no special sauce on my Big Mac!
But no one
this isn't
this
two all beef patties!
Special sauce!
Pickles, onions, or a sesame seed bun!
Bang, bang, bang!
I'm gonna shoot someone!
A spokesman for the Aurora Police Department said they plan to present the case, now classified as a felony menacing incident. Sources familiar with the case and fast food workers' account of what happened say two off-duty Denver police officers placed an order from their car in the early morning hours of May 21st. But once at the drive-thru window, the employee said the men became agitated and angry at how long their food was taking. Now, see, I react the opposite way. Because if it's taking long, that means it's going to be fresh.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than old French fries.
Yeah, the old French fries,
oh, rubbery
cold
egg
burger.
McMuffin.
Yeah, exactly. If it's taking a long time, I will gladly wait because I know what I'm going to get is going to be good.
Right.
So there's no reason for you to get agitated and then show your gun and your badge. And they pointed the pistol through the drive-thru window in a threatening manner.
Are you serious?
And get this. Once they got their food, they drove off without paying.
Assholes.
I'm a cop.
I love you, kitchen gun.
I want my food, and I'm not paying for it.
No.
In Izuka, Fukuoka, Japan.
Oh, I've been there.
Say that three times fast.
I'll try, but
A man was arrested on suspicion of attempted robbery after a resident returned home to find someone dressed as Spider-Man emerging from his house.
What?
The 56-year-old resident was arriving home at about 10:20 a.m. when he saw a man that looked like Spider-Man jump out of my house, and he immediately called police. Upon arrival, police officers found 27-year-old Tetsuo Fujisawa changing clothes in a parked car in front of the house and arrested him on the spot on suspicion of attempted robbery. Yeah, Fujisawa was found while changing out of a woman's swimsuit and set of pink arm warmers.
This guy's a master of disguise!
Yeah, and a black and white Spider-Man costume was found in the vehicle. So he had already changed out of the Spider-Man costume into a woman's swimsuit with pink arm warmers, and were changing out of that.
So was he, like, in the Venom version, too?
Yeah, he was the Venom Spider-Man.
Yeah, so he was in the Venom Spider-Man costume.
Wow.
So I guess maybe he could have said that, you know, he was the evil version.
It's the suit. It's not me.
Yeah. It's the evil symbiote. There have been numerous eyewitness reports of a suspicious man in a Spider-Man-like outfit around Izuka since the end of May, and police are investigating the possibility that Fujisawa has been involved with other crimes in the city. I wonder. He surely can't be the only one robbing homes in a Spider-Man outfit. There's a whole army of them.
The guy's like really inventive.
It's like the Foot in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're all dressed the same,
shit?
Robbing places. And
you're
that's news
fired.
For this week.
That's the news this week, Bill?
That's the news this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news. I love it. Huh? All right, Bill?
Bill?
Jason?
Steven?
Bill? Jason?
Ready Steven? To do some DVDs? Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Yeah, we love the DVDs!
Bang, bang, bang! I love you, kitchen gun! Goodbye, Dirt!
Buckles like new!
Yes! Alright, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week? Very excited.
Right, DVDs for June 23rd, 2009. Starting off with a direct-to-video horror film starring the sister of Hilary Duff, Haley Duff.
Oh, the chick from Napoleon Dynamite, right?
I don't know.
She's the blonde in Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, shit, you're right. I completely forgot.
That's
all right,
so, gay.
So Haley Duff is in a film called Backwoods.
Ooh, scary.
It says a weekend retreat where no one returns. So I
assume that's the worst kind of trip. Oh, no, that's the best kind. You never have to go back to your job. You just stay on vacation forever.
You just stay there. You might be dead, but you stay there.
You might be dead, but you're still on vacation.
Yeah, technically. A team of adventurous L.A. executives head to the remote woods of Northern California. Oh, no. That's never a good beginning.
Right. No.
And it's supposedly for a wilderness weekend. Yeah, we've heard that one before. It always involves death. The objective is to build their stamina and spirit, but when their game goes awry, they realize they aren't alone in the backwoods, and whoever's out there is playing games with them. Wait a second. This sounds a little familiar.
Hills Have Eyes?
No, well, that too. But I think there was a British horror dark comedy a couple years ago called Severance that was also about a team of people going on a retreat for...
You're right.
You know, relationship and communication building, and you know, things went crazy. So how about if you kind of make your own movie instead of ripping off movies from 2006?
assholes.
Bastards. Bang, bang, bang! Got a great idea. Let's do this movie that's already been done before about a million times.
But without British accents.
Yeah, and this time we'll get Hayley Duff because I hear Hillary's not available.
Exactly. Hayley Duff.
Here's a show I never
Napoleon
would buy on
Dynamite.
DVD because it's on every freaking day. Bizarre Foods.
Right, Bizarre Foods.
Why would you ever buy Bizarre Foods on DVD? I mean, there's like a gazillion episodes on. Anytime you turn the Travel Channel on, I bet you one of two
it's
things.
It's like, hey, that's the episode I just watched on my DVD. Why the hell did I buy this?
Yeah.
The only, I can only think...
Bizarre Foods that's on, or No Reservations that's on.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
There's only one person I know who would buy this, and that's that guy on YouTube who I watch his video collection.
Oh, yeah.
The
guy that buys everything.
He was like, I just bought this. It's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I was like, why the hell did he buy that? It's on, like, every day on the Food Channel.
Why would anybody ever buy that?
I don't know. He goes, I bought this for $3 at Walmart, and he holds up the money. He buys everything. Just like, I don't want to know how much money he's spending.
Okay, here's another movie I'm bringing up because the tagline on the top cracks me up. It's called Bob Funk. It's a Magnolia picture, actually. So maybe it'll be on HDNet. But Rachel Lee Cook joins the Funk Family Futon Company, where she is being groomed to replace Bob, the eldest son. What? Bob's on a downward spiral, facing each morning with a gluttony of coffee, booze, and women. Ultimately, Bob's over-the-top behavior forces his mother to fire him. Bob sets out on a path to regain control over his life and get his job back. But he just might find love where he least expected it. Now, the whole reason I bring this movie up, at the top of the DVD, Stuart Olson from Independent Film Quarterly states, and I quote, Rachel Lee Cook's best film since She's All That. Holy
I still don't
shit.
Get it.
Wow, you know your career's in the shitter when you get a statement like that on the top of your
TV. You thought that movie was a classic. This is a classic.
This is even better. moving on. You know, Morgan Freeman loves doing direct-to-video movies, I guess because they're easy paychecks.
Oh, definitely.
But he did another one that's just getting released called The Code. With him and Antonio Banderas.
Terrell Winters from the Men's Commode.
Hey, there he is.
But that's unhealthy. It shocks me that the cast is Robert Forster, Rhoda Mitchell, Morgan Freeman, Antonio Banderas, directed by Mimi Leader, who
wow she
was actually a pretty well known director for a while.
Yeah, she did. She started out doing a lot of TV, like ER and stuff. Then she did Peacemaker with George Clooney. Then she did Deep Impact.
And now she's doing The Code.
Yeah.
It's going direct to DVD.
It was funny. I saw a picture of that with them on the cover. I was like, what is that? And all I saw in the corner was half a star as the rating.
Oh,
yes.
That sucks.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I guess I know now why I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you can't win them all.
It's like, I wonder if I should rent that.
No, I think that's a no.
Yeah.
That's a negatory. All right, next DVD, Confessions of a Shopaholic.
It's
something that I have absolutely no interest in watching, so we'll just move past it.
Yeah, that's not for our gender, I'm thinking.
No, I think it has more to do with sexual preference than gender.
Gay best friend.
Yeah, he might watch it.
Yeah,
but again, another shocker here to me. Directed by PJ Hogan.
Oh, he did My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I know these.
I think every movie he's done since like Peter Pan is a chick flick. Or I think he's always done chick flicks.
Right, and this has Isla Fisher in it, right?
Yeah, it does. I think he's the one that did, like, Muriel's Wedding, right?
Right. I saw this thing in Entertainment Weekly, and it was, like, 24 things that should never happen in a romantic comedy again. And it was
lists them all?
They were all on the spot. One is, like, at the climax of the film, someone's always rushing somewhere. They're late for something. They're running through traffic. They've got to get there. And that's true. That always happens. And
it even happened in Jersey Girl.
Do you know? Yeah. And you know what the number one thing is in all romantic comedies? You know what it is, Steven?
Somebody running into something.
No, that's in there, too. The clumsy chick. But it's this.
Gay best friend.
The gay best friend with a heart of gold. He's funny. He's got all this wisdom.
And
he's always there for you.
He's not threatening. He's gay.
Yeah.
But not so gay it's off-putting.
He always has the funniest lines as the scene is ending. He gets the last laugh. Awesome.
Oh, I'm not doing it.
next DVD and Blu-ray is Inkheart.
Inkheart! I love Inkheart. Oh, wait, that's the wrong movie. I think it's Jean-Claude.
Yeah, that is the wrong movie. I guess this one has Brendan Fraser as a mongoloid author or something. I'm looking at the cover of it. It looks like Inkheart.
Yeah, Inkheart! Get him, Inkheart!
Put some ink in his eye.
He's kicking Paul Bettany's ass. Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, I guess he's an author whose world comes to life.
Yeah, don't read from the book. Paul Bettany will come out of it. Apparently.
That would keep me from reading anything.
Isn't Ricky Gervais in this too?
Yeah. Helen Mirren. Paul Bettany, Jim Broadbent.
Wow.
And of course, I mean, any movie with Brendan Fraser has
got
to be
a decent cast. Was it just not good? Or is it good? I don't know.
It had sure hit the DVD quick. I don't even remember it being in the theater for long.
Well, Bill, you check it out and tell me what you think, okay?
No, we'll let Rick Lidster do that for us.
You may not.
Yeah, Rick, he can do it.
Yeah, Rick watches the garbage for us.
I'm going to call him on his rock phone after the show.
Yeah.
You need to upgrade, mate.
Watch out for squirt guns. All right, and let's move on here. This one's probably the best DVD of the week.
I don't even know you.
Legend of the Bog with Vinnie Jones.
Legend of the Bog?
Yes, the Bog.
Number twos and doing poos.
Is it that kind of bog, like a toilet?
Yeah, I don't know. It says when a 2,000-year-old mummified murder victim, a bog body, is inadvertently disturbed, he rises from the dead to wreak havoc on a local group of strangers who unwittingly share a guilty secret. Alone in the dark, they fight for survival. But Vinnie Jones looks very, very angry on the cover.
At least sounds better than that Severance ripoff. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh my god, it's so ugly.
And how bad can it be with Vinnie Jones and skulls on spikes on the cover?
Oh.
Yeah,
that makes everything better, skulls on spikes.
I never did see that Midnight Meat Train.
Neither did I, and I've always meant to. I mean, it's got a good cast. That's the one with Leslie Bibb and Bradley Cooper and Vinnie Jones.
The Clive Barker story.
Clive Barker, yeah. You know your career's in the shitter. This must be the week of
bitch. I'm gonna hit you with your own pill.
Of shit career DVDs, because the next one is George Lopez presents Mr. Troop Mom.
Oh yeah, I keep seeing that advertised on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, get it? It's a play on Mr. Mom. It's Mr. Troop Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets funnier the more I think about it.
Yeah, it really does. Because, you know, I bet he like goes through all kinds of really, really funny experiences with all these tween
George
girls.
George Lopez and Jim Belushi, they somehow had some kind of blackmail on network TV to have their shows on the air for so long.
I think Jim Belushi needs to go back to making canine movies.
David Cross always makes fun of Jim Belushi, or he calls him the Belush, and talks about what an asshole he is. And I finally read the story on why he hates him so much. And
why is that?
He was making the film called Destiny Turns on the Radio. Remember that piece of shit?
I do.
Yeah.
With Dylan McDermott, Quentin Tarantino has a small part in it.
Wow, well, that was really bad.
Well, David Cross, they filmed it in Las Vegas, and he met this lady who, she had some relative that was dying who was a Belushi fan or whatever. And she was like...
Wow, that's...
So
he's
like,
no Pixar.
So she talked to David Cross for a while, and he goes, you know, I'll get you an autograph. You know, I'm sure Jim will be happy to do that.
My last wish, I want to see Taking Care of Business with Jim Belushi.
So he goes up to Jim Belushi, and he's like, hey, I got to ask you a favor for this lady. Her husband's dying. He's a big fan of yours. He'd like an autograph. And he was like, Jesus Christ, you're worse than my wife, dude. He's like, well, no, seriously.
What?
He's like, I thought you were going to give me a blowjob or something like that. That's doing me a favor or whatever. Are you going to return that favor? He's like, no, seriously. This lady, you know, her husband is like, will you leave me alone? God, I'm sick of requests like this or whatever. And he just kind of blows him off. And David Cross is like, what an asshole. This guy's
a
douche.
Can't sign it?
No, he wouldn't do it. So he never did fulfill that
Damn that Belushi
wish.
So that guy died without his Belushi autograph.
He could have been buried with his Don Belushi autograph.
Yeah, that's what's probably funny is her husband's like, no, I'm a fan of John Belushi, not Jim Belushi.
I love Red Dawn.
Do what?
Or wait, what was that movie? Shit, not Red Dawn. Shit, what was the one with Arnold and him?
Oh, Red Heat.
Red Heat.
Red Heat.
Yes.
Red Dawn.
Gumby.
You idiot.
He walks in, Danko, you're welcome. Remember that? Because his name is Danko. Yeah,
I try to forget.
That shit is hilarious, Steven.
So that's why I couldn't remember the name of the movie.
The best part of Red Heat is the Russian bathhouse fight.
Oh, God.
I hadn't seen another one as quite as good as that until Eastern Promises.
Yeah,
I was like, this so finally Eastern topped Promises. The Red Heat bathhouse fight. Yeah!
You know, David Cronenberg saw Red Heat and was like, man, that's a great idea for a scene.
After the show, I'm going to put together...
We need some naked man-on-man fighting.
A YouTube video, Bill.
Penis.
YouTube video, Bill, of all the greatest bathhouse fights.
Okay.
So those two movies, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it. Unless anybody else can remember any.
Is there anything better than two dudes naked fighting in a bathhouse? I mean, come on. This is disturbing. What are we talking about again?
I would feel very uncomfortable fighting naked.
I'm feeling vulnerable right now.
Gay best friend.
I would at least want some, you know, underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, like, can we hold on for a second? Just time out. Can I slip these on real quick?
It's like, dude, right. I got some shorts over here. Can I please put it? It's like, no, we fight now. It's like, dude, put a towel on. Oh, I just thought of another bathhouse fight. I just did. Showdown in Little Tokyo with Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
That's another bathhouse fight.
There's one that I can't even remember the movie, but... They make the kid go in there and ask for some money from this big sumo guy.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Was it Professor Tanaka?
No, I'm sorry.
No, but
does Jeff Speakman fight in a bathhouse, Bill?
No,
in the perfect
you know which one I'm talking about, Bill, don't you?
I totally do.
The kid, they pick the kid up and they pitch him outside?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as I'm not insane.
Yeah, I know exactly what movie you're talking about. I just can't remember what the hell it was.
All right, we'll be thinking about it.
Yeah, I'll remember it after the show, I'm sure. All right, next DVD, My Dinner with Andre, Criterion Collection.
Oh.
Because
why not watch a more boring movie with an even more boring commentary?
My Dinner with Andre. That was like always this joke of a boring movie, you know. That's like the default movie you would name.
I love Wallace Shawn. I think the guy is just a genius. But this movie, I watched it out of like morbid curiosity one time on like Sundance. Because, you know, it's one of those movie titles that you always hear.
Right. Is it literally just a conversation between two dudes?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's in like a restaurant and they talk about everything. Money, taxes.
So could I like put it on an MP3 file and just
listen to
it?
It's
a podcast.
Yeah, could, but you'd fall asleep.
Hey, that would be perfect for insomnia, wouldn't it? I'm going to put on my Dinner with Andre audiobook and you're out.
I want to meet a person that says, I love this movie. I love it. It's genius.
If you don't like this film, you don't like movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, I guess I hate movies then. No, in all honesty, I've never seen it, but I have no desire to also.
No, it's really not worth it.
Awesome.
All right. The Pink Panther 2. Steve Martin continues his epic domination over the character.
Yes.
Director Jacques Lusseau.
Now, Bill, how was this?
Why do you automatically assume I saw it?
Well, come on. You saw the first one, right? And that was.
Yeah, I mean, I love Steve Martin. I think he's genius. But this is really just all about him making a family-friendly kids movie for a large
Steve?
Paycheck.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, he's getting a paycheck. It's fine. He's allowed.
I mean,
to do
I really
that.
Don't mind it. And they're all having fun in it. Like he's having a blast with Jean Reno and John Cleese.
That's
and
what's
all.
Hilarious.
I mean,
that Jean Reno is like he's the straight man in these movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with him. But I don't particularly enjoy them. I'm not a Pink Panther snob. Like, oh, Peter Sellers, I can't even believe
this is
it.
Not the original Pink Panther.
Yeah.
If you don't like the original, you don't like Pink Panther.
Yeah.
It's Pink Panther, not Panther. What the hell?
Panther. Do we have a Panther roar?
Sounds a lot like the cougar roar.
Yeah, Foggy's nodding yes that we do.
Which also happens to be the MGM lion.
there we go.
Foggy needs to pull the MGM roar from Strange Brew whenever they're trying to start the lineup. Hey, turn his tail, eh? Let's wind him up, eh?
This is the closest we have to Pink Panther.
Leave us exit stage left.
Snagglepuss! Hey, he was pink.
Snagglepuss was technically a Pink Panther.
Yeah, right? He looks very close to Pink Panther.
I'm sure he loved diamonds.
Exit, double quick time, stage right.
Great.
For all you fans of Reba McEntire, why not pick up Reba Season 6?
Six friggin' seasons of that shit?
You thought George Lopez was lucky.
Yeah. Shit.
Somehow I thought that was going to be the general reaction.
Reba, 6 years?
I don't understand how this thing's been. What is this on?
In Reba's defense, she was great in
Tremors.
She was good in Tremors. But this
we'll
isn't
just,
Tremors.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll stop there.
Moving on.
Oh, what if it said that on the box, Bill? Her best performance since Tremors!
Yeah, it should. But it doesn't, sadly.
Oh.
Next DVD is Simon Says... with Marco Harshman.
Who?
Yeah, I have no idea, but that's what it says on the box.
Marco Harshman.
Yeah, at the top of the box it says Crispin Glover and Blake Lively. So the girl from Gossip Girl and George McFly. Oh, and wow. I guess he's a murderer.
Wow.
Because he's got a pitchfork next to his head.
Creepy.
Does he look like the American Gothic guy?
Yeah.
The old farmer.
Blake quietly standing next to him or something?
Yeah, I guess.
I can totally picture him as that.
Does this sound familiar? Maybe you've seen it before. Five college friends choose to spend their vacation debauching at the riverside. They find the perfect place to camp out, but end up crossing paths with twin brothers, Simon and Stanley, who then begin to knock off the campers in some extremely creative and gruesome ways.
Oh, my
Enjoy
God.
Enjoy the splash.
Yeah, that's called Friday the 13th, the first
you
time
know,
I saw
that's
it.
That's why I've never gone on vacation with my friends. It's just
I
deadly.
I am never, ever going anywhere with friends that happen to be near a lake or a river or a wood retreat. Or, no, yeah. It's not happening.
Hidden deadly hazards.
Guys, let's take a shortcut through this weird hillbilly area. Oh, okay, woo!
Weird hillbilly area.
Let's take a shortcut to Hillbilly Falls.
As you're driving past, does it say, like, weird hillbilly area 5 miles?
Do not enter weird hillbilly area.
Enter at your own risk. Weird hillbilly.
Hey, I'm going to go ask this hillbilly for directions.
It's like bad idea. Instead of a deer crossing sign, it's a car on cinder blocks.
That little moonshine bottle with a shotgun next to it.
Yeah, barrels with 3 XXX's on it. Yeah, just all right. Last Dimini, probably the best film that we're going to cover this evening. Waltz with Bashir, a Academy Award nominated film for Best Foreign Language. It's kind of a weirdly animated film based on a true story of a guy's past with Israeli army during the first Lebanese war. And him and his buddy are suffering from nightmares, and they begin to wonder why their memories, like they don't have a full memory of what went down. And it's really, really cool. It's a cool movie. I can't recommend it enough. And it'll probably look gorgeous on Blu-ray.
What kind of animation is it like?
It almost reminds me of kind of like a rotoscoping.
Really?
But it's not. It's like exaggerated rotoscoping.
Hey, I'm game for that.
Yeah, it's very cool. I when I watched it, I thought it was a really cool movie, and it's really powerful. I don't normally use that cliche for movies, but I really dug it.
If I don't like this, I don't like animated movies, do I?
Exactly, yeah.
But you got to say it in a British accent.
If I don't like movies, if I don't like animated movies, I don't like movies.
No, if you don't like this animated movie.
You don't like this movie, you don't like animated movies.
Okay, I'll leave it at that.
I love you, Kitchen Gun!
I love you, Kitchen Gun!
I love the kiss. All right, Bill.
Yep. And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome, Jason.
I just got Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on Blu-ray. I can't wait to watch that.
I haven't watched it yet, but you know, I'm waiting for my projector stuff to come in on Monday so I can install my screen and everything, and that's going to be the first movie I watch.
Oh, that's awesome. You need to do screenshots. You need to take a picture
for
me.
So I can see. You know, it probably won't look that good until I get my projector ISF calibrated. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Rufio in the chat room, you snob. The Good, the Bad, and the Weird is better. No, it's not. It's a fun movie, but it's not better.
What the hell is that movie?
That's the Korean one that I told you about. That it's kind of like it takes the basic element of the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and then places it in Asia. And they're all chasing after that. One guy has a map, and they're all chasing after him with the map, and none of them knows what the map's to, but it's a really fun, cool movie.
I remember what you're talking about. Okay, I'll get that next.
Yeah.
How about
that? Well, I don't think it's out here, but...
Oh. Well, never mind.
I have a copy of it Blu-ray I can send to you.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs!
You're welcome.
You mess with the bull, and you get the horns.
Thank you. Good night.
Yikes.
Here all week, try the veal. And see.
and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Yes, thank God.
I love you, kitchen gun.
All right, everybody. That was episode 168 of No World Mulberry. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, send us an email. Also go to nimlive.com, nimlive.com, and God, there's too many dot coms in there. Nimlive.com, you'll find links to Mulberry Old School, which is all of our old episodes, and a link to our forum. Join the forum and give comments to the show. And
yeah, but you haven't any other time, so why would you do it this week?
Sliders.
Come on, people. We know there's a lot of listeners. We've got tons of people on Facebook. Sign up for the forum. Post something. Say
just
hi.
Say hi.
I don't care. Anything.
Even a good show, guys. Keep up the good work. I'll take even
that. Yeah,
because
if you don't start saying shit, we're done. It's it. No more.
Right, just like Leo, we're done.
Yeah, you can do the show somewhere else.
Blame it on Steven.
If you like the show, you're listening right now, if we've entertained you, just let us know. Because, and I'll tell you why, it's not because we're needy. Oh, we may be a little bit.
We are a little.
But it's because we want to know if you're enjoying what you're listening to, huh?
Exactly. Is there something else you want us to talk about? Do you not like when we talk about something? Let us know.
Screw you.
Tell us about a show we're missing.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm done.
Oh, Leo,
because we'll
back.
Watch anything.
Yeah, well, that's
you
obvious.
Can do the show somewhere cover. Else.
Hey.
Leo, come on. There's all sorts of different things on the forum also you can comment on. TV shows, movies, and all that stuff. So
yeah, video games.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch.